I will invite you now to turn with me to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. This portion of Scripture is familiar to each of us this afternoon. No doubt, it was a portion of Scripture that God opened your mind and understanding to the subject of the doctrines of grace about the sovereignty of God. I don't suppose there's ever been a grace preacher that have not found great comfort in reading the words that are penned on these pages. Not only is the ministers of Christ blessed in these words, but in the lives of every one of us as children of God, as we read these words, it gives us understanding more than just in our minds, but in our hearts, who God is. The satisfaction that we bear today in Christ Jesus is knowing that before the foundation of the world, there was a holy God that loved us and cared for us. And from the very beginning, from the very I Am, the purpose of God was to bring forth a people and to redeem them from their sins and set them above all other men and have a special place prepared for them in glory. This morning, this afternoon, I invite you to read with me now in Romans 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also beareth me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness, continued sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kindred according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the Father and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God came hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all its children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also hath conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, neither having done any good or evil, have the purpose of God according to election might stand, not by works, but of him that calleth. It was said of her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Reading Romans 9, 1 through verse 13. My first observation in reading these words is what Paul said about the heaviness of his heart for his brethren. For every preacher who is called of God, I believe there is a heaviness upon his heart to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to preach the gospel of Christ to those that you personally know, to your family, to your friends, to your loved ones, those that you have come acquainted with in this world. The commission of Christ is more than just to your family and friends, but is unto the entire world. A person is called to preach the gospel. But I make note this afternoon the fact that Apostle Paul had a sincere desire to see his people come to the knowledge of the truth in Jesus Christ. And for that, he speaks to them in these verses, and he is telling them, though you be of Abraham, though you be of Isaac, though you be of Jacob, that doesn't mean that you are of God. Because coming into the grace of God is not by heritage alone. It's not by blood alone. We have all known families that have 3 or 4 children, and there would be one or maybe two that would find faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, but then there are others of that family that never believed or have any concern for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The parents of that family find it grievous when they think about their children not being believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. But here Apostle Paul is grieving in himself with a heavy heart that his people, his own people, the Israelites, believe not, and that most of them, so many of them, were not probably in the household of faith. It is not because of their heritage. It was not because of their blood, but the calling of Almighty God. Now, the way that Paul introduces this is by bringing to their remembrance the work of God in Abraham. Abraham had a promise of God that Sarah, his wife, would bear a son, and that son would be his heir. But because of age and time, it would appear to Abraham and to Sarah that that was not going to be. Many times we run ahead of God. We know what the righteous and good thing would be in our family, and we look really anxiously to find that promise that maybe you know is there. Maybe God has spoken to you, or you believe and you hope that this or that would happen. And you wait and you wait. And sometimes we kind of lose faith. And maybe that's what happened to Abraham. He lost faith in the promise of God. But God's promises are sure and true. And whatever God has promised, it's going to come about. So this is the Bible lesson here. When God has promised us and we feel and have faith in something, we should believe and trust in all holy God, our Lord Jesus Christ, that it will come about. And pray to that end every day. Pray to the end of the hope that you find within yourself. Such like, example, I get on a little sidetracks here. Such like. We are asked so many times in this church to pray for this one and for this one. And this week, I had someone come to me and they told me of something that was pretty bad. And they asked me to pray for this person. And we will pray for that person. But because of our time and because of our days, sometimes we forget to pray. We forget to pray and ask God, will you have mercy upon this particular occasion? Well, we should never forget. We should never forget our prayer requests and our petitions before Almighty God. Now, back to Abraham. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness, but there was a time that he went ahead and took another wife, Hagar, into himself and bore a son. Now, Hagar's son, Ishmael, was the firstborn and was then the heir of Abraham, but not the heir of God. It was not the one that God had promised. It was one that Abraham put as a substitute for the promise of God. Ishmael can never be a substitute for Isaac. He cannot be and never will be. The will of God cannot be torn down, cannot be distorted. The will of God will be. Now, Hagar's son Ishmael, it was said by the scripture that he was loved. He was loved. He was loved. And he was cared. But he was not the promised purpose. Well, in our lesson this afternoon, we see there is two families that we want to examine. We want to examine Abraham and his wife, Sarah, and we want to examine Hagar and her son, Ishmael. Paul brings these two families before us today to represent the example of God's will and how God brought about it. And then I want to turn this message in such a way that would bless you to know that it is the promise is yours. Now, with the first family, with Abraham and Hagar and Sarah, you have two sons. The firstborn, but it's not the promised seed. It is Isaac himself. We have another family. We have Jacob and we have Esau. In Jacob and Esau, Isaac is the father of both sons. He is the father of both sons. Where Abraham, he is the father of both sons, but they have different mothers. Some have said that Ishmael was not the proper candidate because his mother was an Egyptian. But that really would not have much bearing. But in the case of Jacob and Esau, they were in the womb together. But it was that this boy, Isaac, and all his family, the firstborn of that mother is the firstborn, and rightly so, as the heir. But what did God say? God say that the younger shall serve the elder. The younger shall serve, will be the one to be the promised seed. Now, in this, we have examples of God's choosing. God overruled man, and he brought forth this person. Isaac was the chosen and not Ishmael. And we have Jacob is the chosen and not his brother. One overruled the other because of God's own choosing. In our lives this day, God has chosen us before the foundation of the world. These two examples that Paul brings forth are two examples of God's choosing. It is said that the second with Isaac and his two sons is a better example of God's choice, a better example of unconditional election, because the will of God will not be done away with. The will of God will be administered. In all that we have in our lesson today, we find the mercy of God is upon his chosen people, not upon bloodline, not upon nationality, but upon the will and the purpose of God. I know a man who is He's a Jewish person. He does not practice the Jewish religion, but he is of that origin. Now, his faith is not much at all, but because he is a Jew, many would say he is the chosen of God. I don't know what we can say about a person who doesn't believe his own religion to be the chosen of God. We all here are in this Baptist church. I'm happy to call it a Baptist church. We've been here for many years. Our children were in this very service. And our children have grown up. But just because our children grew up in the Baptist church, set under godly preaching, does not mean that they are of the faith, that they are of the chosen of God, that they are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not our choosing. It is not the quality. It is not the church. It is not anything that we have done or will do that will determine the faith of our children or the faith of anyone. This was a heaviness of Paul's heart when he spoke to them. As he spoke to them, he saw nothing but ritual. All he could see before him, I suppose, was the carrying on of a tradition that went back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Paul preached Christ Jesus as the Messiah, as the chosen one, the one that was promised even in the book of Genesis. He was the one that is our Redeemer. All of those that were kinfolks, all of those Israelites that carried the name Jew, all of them who went even to the temple, unless their faith is based upon that Lord Jesus Christ and His blood, they were all going to perish in their sins. The scripture says that Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. God loved Jacob. His heart and soul was upon Jacob. His blessing was upon Jacob, where it was not upon Esau. They were in the womb together, but they were different. They were two mighty nations in the womb. And his brother was born first. But even though he was born first, he is not appointed to be the chosen of God. So I want to say this afternoon. All of our faith, all of our works will not save us, nor will it save those that you love. Our prayers are needed. We should be praying always for our families, our friends, that the grace of God might be revealed in them. And the grace of God might be revealed in each of our family members, in our neighbors, in congressmen, in senators, and in a president, in all men everywhere. Apart from this grace, there is no mercy with God.